The Prime Minister of Lebanon said today the nation was far from normalizing relations with its southern neighbor, Israel. 1 year ago, Lebanon and Israel signed a ceasefire that was supposed to end a war between the militant group Hezbollah and Israel, a war that left more than 4,000 Lebanese and more than 100 Israelis dead. But with near daily Israeli attacks still taking place, life for civilians in Lebanon's south remains dangerous. Special correspondent Simona Foltin reports from that tense border.
It's olive harvest season in southern Lebanon. But after 2 years of war between Israel and Hezbollah, it's slim pickings for Mohammed Alawi.
For 2 years, we've neglected this land. There are few olives. We didn't farm it. We didn't even put fertilizer. The people have abandoned their land. They're not willing to come here. We only come here when accompanied by the Lebanese army.
Under the protection of the Lebanese army, farmers have a week to complete their harvest. Coming here alone is dangerous, despite a U.S. brokered ceasefire signed last year. In line with the deal, the Lebanese army replaced Hezbollah as the dominant security force in Lebanon's south, but Israel has continued to carry out air raids and ground operations and still occupies Lebanese land. Captain Elias Barish is in charge here.
Can you explain where we are at the moment?
We are now in the village of Marun al-Ras on the southern Lebanese border that looks out on occupied Palestine. This is the main area where you'll find olive trees, and it extends up to the village.
We are just a few hundred yards from the border. The Israeli settlement of Avivim lies beyond the rubble of Lebanese homes. On this side, the land lies fallow, in contrast to the lush green across the border fence. During Israel's ground incursion earlier this year, countless olive trees were uprooted. In a statement to the NewsHour, the IDF denied responsibility. Now, Lebanese farmers are trying to salvage what's left.
What would happen if you were not present here during this harvest? What are some of the risks the farmers are facing?
The farmers are facing difficult challenges in this area because the enemy, Israel, is based close to their lands and sometimes carries out surveillance operations, provocations, and even opens fire to terrorize civilians and prevent them from reaching their land. Our presence here is to give them a sense of security and to protect their right to work their land safely.
The Lebanese army has also come under attack. Last year, during the height of the war, one of Captain Barish's men was killed when an Israeli tank fired at a clearly marked army base, an incident the IDF claimed to have no knowledge of.
The work in the border region is not easy. The geography is difficult and the security is volatile because the enemy, Israel, is always trying to send threatening messages and ignite tensions in the area.
The captain has only around 170 troops for a sector that spans 10,000 acres of hilly terrain. His men must secure 5 border villages and dozens of miles of roads. UN peacekeepers, called UNIFIL, are here to support them.
From what I've observed, they're well equipped, the individuals that I've gone on, but the size of patrols that I've been on are small patrols, they're 1 to 2 vehicles.
Do you think that the farmers would not tend to their land if LAF and UNIFIL were not present?
They absolutely would not come down here.
Why?
It wouldn't, they feel anyway, it wouldn't be safe enough for them. There's been a large number of civilian excavators targeted by drones, usually actually small quadcopters that drop grenades on them. So I think there would be the fear there from the civilians that that might happen to them.
Responding to these allegations, the IDF said it operates with utmost precaution to minimize civilian harm. But the fact remains that more than 100 civilians have been killed in Israeli strikes during the ceasefire, according to the UN. Farmers like Mohammed need to come here daily to work the land, not just when the Lebanese army and the UN are able to provide an escort.
We are not just living on olive trees. We also grow tobacco and wheat. We have to come here all the time to work.
You are a farmer. If you cannot come to your fields, if you can't tend to your olive trees, what are your options?
We don't know anything else. I mean, most people here survive on farming.
And if there's no farming, I ask? The the painful realization that life as it was before the war may never return.
We don't know what will become of us. We live from this land. Our lives have been destroyed.
It's afternoon and the window of the army's protection is closing. We leave the fields and head for the village center, along abandoned roads, past more abandoned fields. And this is what's left of Mohammed's village, Marun Aras, just layers upon layers of destruction. He shows us where he used to live with his wife and five children.
The IDF booby-trapped and detonated all the houses here. They used this field for the tanks. They set up a perimeter here, and they detonated all the homes.
Mohammed's family fled during the heaviest fighting, and he's unsure if Hezbollah used his house to launch attacks. There are, however, traces of the IDF. In the rubble, we find a spent Israeli rocket alongside fragments of civilian life. Mohammed doesn't feel safe to live here.
They won't allow any of the border villages that face them to be inhabited.
More than a year after the ceasefire, Lebanon's border villages remain a no-man's land, where life has been rendered all but impossible. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Simona Foltin in Marun Aras, on Lebanon's border with Israel.
The NewsHour reached out to the Israeli military with detailed questions about their activities in southern Lebanon. They issued a statement which read, in part, "Since the ceasefire came into effect, the IDF has identified Hezbollah's efforts to rebuild its military infrastructure, including in southern Lebanon, and that the IDF continues to act in a targeted manner against Hezbollah's reconstruction attempts."